thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here this afternoon to talk about Hong Kong and New York and the juxtaposition of the two. I was in Hong Kong for 15 years, and I'm going to give a little bit of a background to what it's like working and living in Hong Kong. It's a fantastic place, and although Hong Kong has an urban density that is 40% less than New York, it's actually a much more dense place when you look at just the urban areas, because the urban areas are indeed far more built up than the than New York, for instance. And it's the legislation from the government that actually taxes the owner of the land, which is dependent partly on the potential you have to build on that land rather than what you've got on that land. And that actually forces people to maximize and make as much use and benefit of the places that they've got. I thought I'd start with this diagram because what Hong Kong has over New York is that it's young. We build our cities. What this is, it's running along the bottom. You've got a date starting in 1910 and finishing at 1990. And you can see that the development... this is the height of buildings. And this is the development of building height and distribution of tall buildings around the world. And what you see is that we had in the States an enormous building boom in the 30s, again in the 70s. But what's happened in the last 10 years is that there has been an enormous building boom in China and indeed also starting in the Middle East. When you're building a subway system based on today's understandings of subway systems, it's quite different to the subway systems that we built in the 1910s. And I've had experience, I was chief engineer on Second Avenue Subway for a couple of years, and the opportunities to actually build is quite a different approach and a different philosophy. The MTRC works very closely with the government in developing a philosophy and an approach, and they use fairly free use of eminent domain to try and create something that is for the greater good, whereas there is a lot of reluctance to do that in the States. So these are a few of the tall building projects that I worked on when I was based in Hong Kong, and I'm going to talk about a few of them in detail. I love this photograph because it has the first building I worked with and one of the last tall buildings I worked with when I left Hong Kong in 1998 to come and live here. Things happen very quickly in Hong Kong, but it is also quite bureaucratic. Designers and engineers have to submit drawings that are checked by other engineers before anything starts construction. But when they start construction, things actually move incredibly fast. And there is a kind of a commitment from owners and developers, not only to build to maximize the return, but they actually associate a lot of value in the type of developments that you build. So high quality, high design projects actually attract higher rents, and developers are well aware of this and will use the quality of their buildings to actually try and attract tenants. This is an example of this is a 70-story Cheung Kong Centre. One of the things that Hong Kong also has a similarity with New York is that people love to live in buildings where you can see open space. So it's not surprising that around Central Park, these are some of the most expensive apartments. Hong Kong has an advantage over New York in as much as There is so much open space, a lot of it is green, and you look out many windows and you see this wonderful green vista that actually wends its way through the city itself. Another thing that happens in Hong Kong is that there is a big focus on innovation in design. People want to do things differently. Now, when we're working overseas, like when we're working with KPF on projects overseas, that's very much the focus of what we try and do. But when we're in New York City, we tend to hold back a bit, do things that have been done before, and are quite reserved in how we approach design. And perhaps there is a lesson to be learned that maybe a dialogue with the unions to be able to do things that are different or innovative would help us achieve better and more design. The quality of the design extends beyond the building footprints, and the developers are encouraged to link their buildings into walkways and an urban plain that exists above the road level. This is the development, this is a Cheung Kong footbridge that essentially connects the building of the Cheung Kong Centre to the adjacent areas, and people are very interested in connectivity, pedestrian routes, taking people away from the roads, and that last development by MTRC is just quite incredible. When you arrive in Hong Kong, you arrive at the Hong Kong airport. I have to show this because this is a picture of me, one of the best airports in the world. You go from that airport to this building here, which is in the heart of the city. And this is the vision that MTRC had for a major connection into the heart of Hong Kong. So it's this one-stop ride. You come out, you're in the middle of things, you're in a quality building, and this connects the people in Hong Kong, connects the visitors to Hong Kong, to the airport, and to a feeling that you're actually much part of a much greater thing. And it's a very sort of uplifting for you to feel that. And the opportunity we had a few years ago to have the one-seat ride into the heart of Manhattan, and in my perspective, was a real missed opportunity, because we are a very much an international city. We need this connection to overseas, both to use it and to actually feel that we are connected. This is the Hong Kong station development. It doesn't look much like a station, as you can see. The development itself has a lot of green space around the perimeter. And what they've done is they've built tall rather than distributing the buildings over a large area. Again, a lot of sort of innovative design went into this building. It's quite remarkable. You've got this great sort of 75-foot clear span window openings at each floor level. And again, you can see this was built actually during during the recession in Hong Kong, as Thomas mentioned earlier. And the developer had a long time to try and make sure that the construction went very smoothly. It was 4 days a floor from bottom to top. What they did was they kept on building the concrete formwork, and then they put the steel in underneath that, so they didn't delay construction at the outrigger floors. Again, it's an integration between trades that would not be possible in New York, but actually made this building very effective, very fast to build. And here you have the KPF development on Kowloon Station. Again, another station that doesn't really look like a station, but people want to be there. People want to live there and work there because these whole areas are very well connected. This is a construction shot. I'm not sure if that's the latest. Paul will take you through some of the planning in a little bit more detail. It's quite a remarkable and special building. This is a great example of the developments that Thomas was talking about beforehand. This is Tsing Yi Station. It's what they called their second stage development. And here you've got some 50-story towers existing above a transfer plate. Below that you have a shopping center. Below that you have the MTRC station. Below that you have a bus terminal and bus station. Everything is very interconnected, so you don't have to go to any of this through your transit journey, but you can if you want to. And here you can see the major highway running past it. And the picture Thomas showed, none of the developments in the surrounding area were actually being built. But everyone is attracted to the connection to the rest of Hong Kong. And what the MTRC does when it's got a station, people want to live close. They want to be connected. And you can see these developments that are outside MTRC land, but they're connected in by footbridges. This is an acoustic canopy, so they're trying to protect people from the noise that you get. So, you know, there's examples there for the West Side Highway, but a very integrated development. And I don't know what's happened here. This basically shows that the first kind of Tsuen Wan Depot, which was one of the first early depots. We lost that. Just try and go back. No. This is the Chai Wan Depot. This again is the first phase developments where they learned planning and how to create tracks underneath the buildings, but creating this urban plain where everything happened above the rails, above the road systems. But within that and below that, there were facilities, there were shops and shopping centers. And here you can see, I picked this up, the Southeast Kowloon development. Again, it's a massive amount of high-rise buildings, but there is extensive ground plane, extensive facilities for the people that live there, a place to be, a place to live, and I'm sure that the transit connections within that are being thought about. This is a diagram that looks at prefabrication techniques. This is something that we did for the Hong Kong Housing Authority. Again, there is a demand by MTRC, by developers, by the housing authorities to actually look at what you're doing and do something better next time. And this is looking at modular construction, prefabrication of toilet units, lifting everything into place, again, to create buildings speedily, effectively, and as part of to create a large number of accommodation units quickly and effectively. And it can go that fast. Not quite fast enough for my talk. Lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Council on Tall Buildings and Urban Habitat. I hope you're all members. We have some great journals, great materials, particularly if you're interested in tall buildings and the urban habitat. Last month's journal featured KPF and their super tall tower in Shanghai. We have we had a big conference in Dubai last year with 1,000 attendees. We're having our next conference will be in Mumbai where we're just looking at the issues of sustainable urban planning. We're looking at it in Mumbai because they have this density issue. They have great density, they have no high rise, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to go to create density, open space, high rise construction. I'm going to hand over to the next. Thank you very much.